First Thessalonians chapter 2. Thank you, musicians. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. Trust you received a worksheet. Tonight is the final part of our series, Marks of a Healthy Church. Obviously, this was not extensive. There's many marks of a healthy church. I have chose to kind of just confine ourselves to several marks that start with the letter E that we've talked about. And tonight, we're talking about encouragement. Okay, so trust you have brought your Bibles, got a worksheet, so you can take a few notes, follow along with us as we begin. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 11. If you don't have your Bible, follow along on someone's that's standing beside you. If they won't let you, point them out. Point them out. We'll pray for them. Get over that selfishness, and they'll share maybe. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. And as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God. Bless lives tonight as we look and break this bread together. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. You can be seated. Slip your hand up if you didn't get a worksheet and would like one. One of the ushers will be sure to provide you one right up here, brother. And if you can give Brother Ingalls one, I'd appreciate it. Praise God. Good to see you, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, God's good. 58 years ago, I read today, on June the 18th, 1956, kind of a freak accident happened on a lake in upstate New York. A speedboat bounced on a wave and knocked into the water two of its passengers, a 50-year-old gentleman and a small girl. To keep her from drowning, the man held her head above water while the boat circled back around to pick them up. They got there in time to rescue the little girl, but the gentleman that was holding her up drowned. That's how Minister Dawson Trotman died. He was the founder of the Navigators, an international discipleship ministry. Brother Victor, who just left this past weekend with the Marines after Christmas break, is now working with that discipleship group there and on his base. But I read a quote in Time magazine about Dawson, and it said that he lived to save others. And this is what it said: his death was just the way he would have planned it. His obituary read, Dawson Trotman was always lifting someone up. And at his funeral, Billy Graham spoke and summed up Trotman's life by saying, I think Dawson Trotman had personally touched more lives than anybody I had ever known. And I thought, what an impressive legacy, right? Could that be ours? I believe we could earn the reputation of always lifting someone up. Don't you want that reputation? I mean, through the biblical principle and practice of encouragement, we can touch other people's lives. And Charles Swindoll wrote, notice on your worksheet, I know of no one more needed, more valuable, more Christ-like than the individual who is committed to the ministry of what? Encouragement. So the truth, I'm telling you folks, the truth is, it's easy to discourage, isn't it? The world is full of discouragers. That's why we need a church full of encouragers. So in our text, Paul uses this father-child relationship to emphasize the vital importance of encouragement. He knew what most parents know, that encouragement has a profound impact on children. In his book, Encouragement, psychologist and Dr. Larry Crabb talks about his son's track meets some years ago. He says, and I recall, he says, I recall, standing by the finish line at many of the track meets, waiting for my son to come straining down the last stretch of a 2-mile run, exhausted by, you know, the labor of pushing himself to his limit. And sometimes bothered by, no doubt, a variety of aches and pains. He was sorely tempted, no doubt, to just collapse 50 yards short of the finish line. But he said, as each of our team's runners came into view, there was a line of out-of-shape fathers who would begin to shout and say, "Come on, son, you just got a few yards left. Go ahead. Come on. Pick your legs up. You can do it, bud. Come on." How many know what I'm talking about? All of us have seen what happens when fathers or mothers encourage their children. And almost without exception, the child will respond with a renewed determination. How many has noticed that? Yeah, that's the effect of encouragement. The young people, they'll get that glimmer of hope in their eyes, and they'll begin to, you know, get that renewed vigor until they cross the finish line. Why? Because it's encouragement that's made the difference. Now, imagine what would happen if encouragement were absent from that same track meet, so to speak. Imagine what would happen on that final stretch if all the dads were there and they were yelling at their sons like, "Wow, you look beat. Why don't you just quit? You're in sixth place anyway. Maybe running's not your sport. I mean, look on the bright side. We've always got the marching band. Right?" How many know the outcome would be different? Newsflash. Encouragement often makes the difference between winning and losing. Folks, we need help on learning how to encourage one another. We really do. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12. Paul is talking to every one of us. He's talking to fathers, mothers, grandparents, teachers, church leaders. He's essentially saying to us, as a father encourages his child to win the race, so he said, "I've been encouraging, I've been comforting, I've been urging you to live a life worthy of the blessings of God." And the implication is that I think we should take encouragement just as seriously as Paul did. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. And the power of encouragement, notice on your worksheet, is undeniable. How often do we ever stop and realize how powerful a word of encouragement can be to someone who's struggling to live a holy life? I mean, think of the power that encouragement has for that individual who has been pushing themselves to live godly. Think of the power that encouragement has for the individual who has grown weary in the face of temptation, for the individual who's tempted to collapse under the weight of maybe a struggling sin, and to the individual. Think of how important a word of encouragement can be to the individual who's holding their side, so to speak, begging to get out of the race, suffering from cramps and aching muscles, so to speak, from running the spiritual race. But somebody comes along and puts their hand on their shoulder and says, "I prayed for you today." Praise God. Think of the power that encouragement has for the new Christian who has just left, so to speak, the starting blocks and have begun the Christian life. Oh, listen, if you're a new convert in here tonight, I want you to be encouraged. And to that new Christian who's falling behind the pack and struggling to catch his breath, encouraging words mean a lot. To that individual who is sluggishly approaching the finish line, lacking the desire to kick in that little extra bit of effort. Friends, encouragement can make an eternity's difference. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the marks of a healthy church. Healthy churches, we said, were committed to excellence. Healthy churches are committed to exalting God in every area. Healthy churches are committed to expecting and exhibiting Christ-likeness in their members. Healthy churches are committed to evangelizing those who don't know Christ. I believe that's what we talked about last Wednesday. Healthy churches are committed to an every member equipping ministry. Healthy churches are committed to biblical education. That's why we have Sunday school programs and children's churches and Bible studies like this and smaller fellowship groups. And as we will see today, healthy churches, though, are also committed to encouraging, to stirring, to provoking, and to motivating people to live the Christ-centered life. So, newsflash, church life and encouragement go hand in hand. Is this okay? All right. If you still have your Bibles in hand, I want you to go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:25. I want you to notice it says, I think, a very important passage. And a lot of times it's quoted and we really focus on one part of it without the other. I want us to focus holistically on this verse. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Now, various times that we see the word exhorting in the scripture, you can also use this similar word, encourage. Okay? So this verse is really all about encouragement as well as church attendance. Okay? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another and what? So much the more. As you see the day approaching, what day is approaching? The day of the return of Christ. Or if you're a mid-tribber, the day of the Antichrist. Whichever Christ you're looking for. So specifically, it tells us that one of the purposes of a church service, check this out. One of the purposes of a church service is to encourage one another to live and keep living the Christian life. Our purpose, and I hope you don't leave a Broadway Assembly church service and feel like going and backsliding. That's not our purpose. Hello. Encouragement is not something that is merely incidental in the church. It is intentional. Notice that on your worksheet. It's not something that a few nice ladies get together and do every so often. It's not something that only a few people need and even fewer do on a regular basis. Rather, encouragement should be a kind of main course around here. Hello? So, what a simple yet powerful admonition to the church, Hebrews 10:25. Let us encourage one another. One of the greatest needs in the church today is for Christians like Paul who'll take the time to encourage, comfort, motivate other Christians to live lives that honor Christ. And you say, well, I don't really have a ministry in Broadway Assembly. Here's where you can fit in the ministry of Broadway Assembly. Everybody can have a ministry of encouragement. Amen, Pastor. Let me just say something. One of the saddest tragedies about contemporary Christianity is the spirit of consumerism. It pervades the church today. The dominant attitude is always, what's in it for me? So you guys have noticed that too? If my personal needs have not been met, why bother going to church? In contrast to that, Hebrews 10:25 suggests that there is another reason for being in church with other believers. Apparently, it's not what I can get out of the service altogether, but more importantly, what I'm able to give to other people in the service through encouragement. Somebody say, wow. Let me put it bluntly. Having a low view of corporate worship is not just about missing out. It's about us robbing other people of what we are capable of imparting to them via encouragement. When we worship together or pray together, we observe each other's connection with Christ. And when we see that, we in turn, we get stirred, we get motivated in our relationship. How many in here has ever been blessed by watching another person be blessed in the service? I have. I'm like, man, I just enjoyed seeing so-and-so get in and get a touch from God. Come on. That's right. If I am absent from church, I not only miss out, but others may miss out. So being a Christian is much more than a simple personal belief system. It's also about belonging to a community of faith that encourages other people. Being Christian is not just me and Jesus, you know, we got our own thing going. It's more correctly, we and Jesus. Right? Isn't that true? I mean, if you're a part of this church, be committed to we and Jesus. Be committed to being in the service. And if you're here as a visitor and you don't have a church as your home church, be committed to us. We want you to be planted with us. All right. What's the meaning of encouragement? Well, I want to tell you something. It goes straight to the heart. Because, in fact, the word itself comes from a combination of a prefix, of the prefix in, E-N, which means to put into, and the Latin word cor, which means heart. Encouragement means doing something that will help others to take heart when the going gets tough. Now, the biblical word for encouragement literally means to call alongside of. Now, I want to try to draw an analogy here. How many has ever had the experience of being out around town sometime and your car won't start? Huh? The battery is dead. Everything else in the car works fine, except the get up and go is got up and went. Leaving aside the more serious reasons as to why batteries run down, the short-term solution is usually what? Somebody tell me, you don't have to be a mechanic to know this, I hope. Jumper cables! Right! That short-term solution is for another car to pull up alongside of. And you hook up that set of jumper cables from their strong battery to your weak one. So drawing from the energy that has pulled alongside your car, you are now able to start your car again and function normally, hopefully, till the next time you turn it off. No, but see, here's the idea. The act of drawing alongside of, lending energy to, get the other one going, that's the basic idea behind the New Testament word encouragement. Did you know that? Several years back, there was a Special Olympics in Seattle. I thought when I read this illustration, it really brought this point to the surface. 9 contestants. These were special needs contestants. Each of them were either mentally or physically handicapped. They carefully lined up along the starting line for the 100-yard dash. And as the beginning bell sounded, all 9 contestants started out, not with a mad dash, but with great determination nonetheless. And suddenly, one of the contestants tripped and fell on the asphalt, skinned his knees and the palms of his hands, and he started to cry, probably more from embarrassment and fear than the pain of it. But they said something remarkable took place, as I read. Almost immediately, says the other 8 contestants heard that boy cry, and they all slowed down, and then the race stopped as all 8 huddled around that boy that had fallen. And a young girl with Down syndrome, she bent down and gave the boy a kiss and said, "Here, this will make it better." And then all 9 contestants got up and linked arms and walked together side by side to the finish line of the 100-yard dash. And upon seeing that, the entire stadium, they said, erupted in applause that lasted for a solid 10 minutes. And I thought, they didn't know it, but those special needs Olympic contestants just illustrated perfectly the biblical picture of encouragement. Amen. It is the idea of coming alongside someone who has fallen and linking arms with other members and drawing on the strength of the whole body. Amen. Encouragement is about standing alongside a fellow brother or sister in Christ and building them up with encouragement so that they can triumphantly cross over the finish line. Church, don't get me wrong. I want to make heaven my home. I want to cross the finish line. But I want to take some others with me. Don't you? Praise God. The necessity of encouragement. Friends, the reason encouragement is so necessary has to do with the fact that none of us, notice on your worksheet, can finish the race alone. The road without encouragement is one of the hardest roads that we could ever walk, and we cannot live the Christian life on our own strength. We cannot live the Christian life, staying encouraged apart from the encouragement of others. We cannot survive in isolation from God's people and from God's Word. Apart from the encouragement, we will grow weary in doing good or well-doing, as Scripture says, as we live. And how many live and work around people who don't share your values? They don't share your belief system. They don't share your lifestyle of godliness. So here's the effect. They have a tendency to drain you. Is that not true? I mean, I used to work a secular job of construction, and just the idle chatter of the unconverted men that I worked with. Just that constant, always keeping my guard up. You know what I'm talking about. I just get to Wednesday night church and I'd be like, I just want God to fill me and refill me and replenish His power. Amen. And apart from encouragement, we'll get burned out. As our work and our service goes maybe unnoticed and unappreciated sometimes, but apart from encouragement, we'll become frustrated and get discouraged with our growth, and we'll lose our perspective sometimes. And apart from encouragement, we'll be unable to rekindle that passion and that godly living. I'm glad for a church service that I can come into and get that replenished. And so notice the survival rate isn't very high for Christians who detach themselves from an encouraging community of believers. For example, as many as 75% of graduates tend to fall away from Christ once they go away to a college or university. Now, let's delve into that just a moment before we go on. In college, kids are taken away from the church. They're transplanted, oftentimes in secular environments. Is that true? In environments where God is mocked, and oftentimes godly living is ridiculed. And so, yes, I understand. But I can add another reason to that. An atheistic learning environment is not the only reason why the youth fall away from faith in Christ during college. Another reason they fall away is because in college, they're isolated from a caring, encouraging Christian community that values godliness. And apart from a Christian community and regular encouragement, it is virtually impossible for them to remain faithful. It can be done. You can be a Daniel in Babylon, don't get me wrong. But without encouragement, we are terribly vulnerable to discouragement. And I would say that one of the big reasons the Bible prohibits, let's jump to another topic here. I hope it won't be a rabbit trail. Another big reason the Bible prohibits believers from marrying unbelievers is because unbelieving spouses tend to discourage and belittle rather than encourage and affirm and value the faith and godly living of the other one. And so as Christians, we need all the encouragement we can get. We cannot afford forsaking the assembling or skipping the times of mutual encouragement. Okay, so let's move on to ideas of sharing encouragement. Let's talk specifically about the kind of encouragement we need to be offering each other in the church setting. Great encouragement can be given through a well-timed note or email or phone call or text message. Great encouragement can be given through our personal example as people living in similar circumstances. You know, how many know they're taking note of our faithfulness? They're taking note. When we go through things, they're taking note. Great encouragement can be given through like I said earlier, a brother putting his arm around a brother, sister putting her arm around a sister that's going through a difficult time and saying, you know what, I prayed for you today. Great encouragement can be given as we stand alongside someone, roll up our sleeves, and for example, share in their burdens, whatever it is. And here's one. Spoken words can be powerful encouragement. We need to tell people how they've encouraged us. There's a story about a pastor leaving a church I read this week. They had a kind of a farewell dinner. And he was kind of going around. He was encouraging the members, saying, you know, don't be sad. Don't be sad because the next pastor will probably be better than me anyway. And one member heard him and spoke up and said, but that's what the last pastor said, but it keeps getting worse.
That wasn't very encouraging, was it?
It's kind of like saying, don't let the door hit you on the backside as you leave. William Arthur Ward, he said this, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you, but encourage me and I will not forget you. As believers, we ought to harness the power of words. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the. Proverbs 12:25, good words can make a heart glad. 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. As Christians, we can say a lot of things, but let's concentrate on saying the right things. Sometimes encouragement is knowing to not speak too many words. Proverbs 10:19, as it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Reminded President Calvin Coolidge was known for being a man of just a few words. And one time a woman bet her friend, I guess it was at a ball or something, bet a friend that she could get the president, Coolidge, to speak to her. And so she went up to him and said, hello, Mr. President. Said, I bet my friend that I could get you to say three words at least. And he looked at her and said, you lose. And he walked away. Church, if one of the easiest ways to sin is with our mouth, then one of the easiest ways to be a blessing is with our mouth. If you have a message, a word of encouragement, speak it to somebody. Many people, though, are better at discouraging others, as we said at the beginning, than encouraging them. One three-year study notice on your worksheet found that most school teachers were 75% negative and critical in dealing with their students. The study also indicated that it takes four positive comments to offset the effect of one negative one. So, encourage. And sometimes you need to know the people you let speak into your life. Hello? Several years back, someone came to me and they said, Pastor, we feel and we've had a dream that God's going to call you away. And said, don't worry, in the dream we feel that your assistant can handle it. Well, 5 years later, I'm still here and the assistant's gone. Somebody was wrong. Hello. June the 1st, 1965. I'm going to hurry. A 13.5-foot boat slipped quietly into the waters out of Falmouth, Massachusetts. Its destination was England. They said it would be the smallest boat ever to make that trip. Its name was Tinkerbell. Remember that from history? The pilot was Robert Manry. He had been the copy editor for the Cleveland Plain Dealer for 10 years, and he just kind of got burnt out and bored. So he took a leave of absence and wanted to fulfill his secret dream. But they said he was afraid, not of the ocean, but he was afraid of all the people who would try to talk him out of the trip. So he didn't tell many people, just a few relatives and his wife, Virginia, who was his greatest supporter and encourager. The trip was anything but pleasant. Many nights he spent, sleepless nights, trying to cross the shipping lanes through the ocean without getting run down and sunk. Weeks at sea caused all of his food to become tasteless, and loneliness, he said, caused him to have hallucinations, and his rudder broke three times, and storms swept him overboard, and he had a rope, though, that he had tied around his waist that he used to pull himself back on board. And finally, after 78 days alone at sea, he sailed into England on August the 17th. And he said during his many nights, he dreamed about what he would do once he arrived in England. He simply expected to check into a local motel, eat dinner alone, the next morning go to the Associated Press to see if they were interested in his story. But to his surprise, word of his approach had already spread far and wide, and to his amazement, 300 vessels with horns blaring and banners waving escorted Tinkerbell into the port. And 40,000 people stood screaming and cheering him to the shore. And Robert Manry had just become a national hero. And his story has been told around the world. But Robert couldn't have done it alone. Standing on the dock, he said, was even his greatest hero, his wife Virginia. She had refused to be critical and negative about her husband's trip, and he said she gave him constant encouragement, which enabled him to pursue and complete the dream of his life. And I thought, the world needs a whole lot more people just like Virginia when it comes to encouragement, right? Both men and women alike, who will give others the needed encouragement to get through life's obstacles. Praise God. How many know words are like a knife? A surgeon's knife. If that knife is placed in the wrong hands and used carelessly, then it'll probably result in death. But when it's placed in the right hands and used carefully, they'll bring life and health and healing. As the musicians come, our words should stimulate spiritual life and foster true spiritual growth. So I want to remind you, a well-timed word has the power to urge a runner in this race of life, urge them on to the finish line. I want to be in the encouragement business. If you have any message of encouragement, speak it. You know, there's encouragement through God's Word. And not only should we harness the power of words and use them wisely, but we should make sure that we ground our encouragement in the truth of God's Word. It's not a coincidence that whenever encouragement, this is a big one, don't forget it. Whenever encouragement is mentioned in the Bible, God's Word is almost always mentioned alongside of it. Titus 1:9 states that the requirement for church elders is that they encourage one another by sound doctrine. And in 2 Timothy 4:2, one of the things Paul tells Timothy, his young understudy, is be prepared in season, out of season. What to do? One of those things, not only preach the gospel, but to encourage, to exhort or encourage. No encouragement is found in false doctrine, church. No encouragement is found in vague niceties and exaggerated compliments and well-intentioned lies or any other falsehoods. The purest form of encouragement is always found in the truth of the Word of God and through the honest speaking of His people. Amen. And so apart from encouragement, we tend to drift into spiritual isolation where we become vulnerable and powerless to live the Christian life. Why? Because encouragement often makes the difference between finishing and failing. Notice that on your worksheet. Finishing and failing. Praise God. Anybody need a little encouragement tonight? We need a strong church that has an impact. And we can have an impact by encouragement. When you see a newcomer in the church walk in, I know we've got greeters, but that's kind of like their job to be back there, and they do a good job. But let's not leave it to them. Hello. Reach out. Some folks need a push of encouragement, and we can do that. We can give them that encouraging, a little encouragement will go a long way. Why? Because there's a lot of discouragers and few encouragers. So if you're not an encourager, maybe you're one of those kind of people that would say, I knew it wouldn't work. You ever met those kind of people? Those kind of people are, I told you so kind of people. Hello. If you're one of those kind of persons, I want you to get off of that bandwagon and get on the encouragement bandwagon tonight. We're called to be a blessing to others whose lives God has placed in our path. Who are you blessing? Who are you encouraging? I want you to stand. I want us to do something. I want all the guys, come over here. All the ladies, come over here. Praise God. And however you got to do it, if you guys can just put your hands on your on the shoulder of the brother beside you, that's kind of what the guys do. And ladies, if you want to get over here and kind of join hands, I want us to just link up with one another. Okay, is this okay? If you can't make it to the front, if you don't feel like coming this far up, I understand. If you want to pray at your seat, you just stretch your hands this way. Praise God. Go ahead, guys. Form a circle. Some kind of semicircle type thing. I don't know how you're going to do it. But we want everybody to... I want this to be a continuous link. Come on. That's it, ladies. Go. Come on around here and join hands. We got a big old gap right here. We don't want any gaps. We don't want any gaps. There you go. Just act like you love each other. Hallelujah. If the circle's too big up here, just make your own circle there. That's fine. That's fine. Praise God. Praise God. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Oh, bind us together, we pray. Now I want you to pray with that one beside you, on either side of you. Listen, pray a prayer of encouragement. I want you to do that. Pray a prayer of encouragement. Father, Lord, there's gentlemen here that we don't know the circumstance or situations that they're going through. I'm asking you, pour out a special measure of encouragement tonight, Jesus, upon all of our brothers right here tonight. Oh, God, minister in their families, minister in their workplaces, minister in their employment, minister spiritually, physically, emotionally. Oh, by the power of the Holy Ghost, let them leave this place of worship encouraged, knowing that, God, we're going to stick together. We're going to stay together, Lord. We're not going to be driven apart by any sort of division. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the ladies of this church, God.
over here, God. They've linked hands and they've joined hearts. Oh, God, as they pray for the one beside them on either side, God, would you just draw them close to you and close to each other as they hold each other up in prayer, God, as they face family situations or financial situations or physical situations, Lord. I pray that they would know they're not facing them alone. Hallelujah! They're not facing them alone, God, but they're going to face them together with the strength of another sister or with the strength of another brother, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, just place your blessings upon us as a church. Lord, make us a healthy church. Make us a healthy church, Lord. One that loves you and loves people, loving each other, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, praise Him, church. I feel His presence here. Where we're binding together in unity, God will be here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wonderful God. Wonderful God. We love you, Jesus. Oh, just praise Him, church. That's it. Just praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, bind us together. Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us. Shake one another's hands. Brother, hug a brother's neck. Sister, hug a sister. Give them a word of encouragement tonight. Would you do that for me? Give them a word of encouragement. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If they're a visitor, get their name. Tell them it's so good to have them here on a Wednesday night. We want to see them back in the house of the Lord. Oh, bind us together. God bless you. If you want to kneel and pray, you are welcome to do so. If you got to go, we understand. God bless you. Come back. We want to see you in the house of the Lord over the weekend. God bless you. Oh, bind us together. Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Lord, bind us. Thank you, Jesus. Bind us together. Bind us together in love. Oh, bind us together. Lord, bind us together.